So all these people, all you people out there who are like, ooh, I don't know. I get kind of uncomfortable when we start talking about things that are important. I get kind of uncomfortable when the topic of religion or politics or philosophy or virtue or truth or anything. I get uncomfortable. I want to go bowling. It's inappropriate. I don't like it. It's improper. It makes me feel bad. It makes me feel anxious. I don't like it. All those people, let me tell you what you are. What you are parasites. You are parasites because a lot of people do a lot of hard work to try and make a free world. A lot of people sacrificed and did a lot of hard work and took on a great deal of danger, ostracism, personal discomfort, legal risks, you name it, to get you things like freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom from slavery and freedom from war. To some degree. And a lot of people really worked very hard to make your life so great. Was ending slavery comfortable? No. Was ending the aristocracy comfortable? No, it was not. It wasn't. And so a lot of people go through a lot of discomfort to make the world a better place. And all the people who were on the receiving ends of those hard-won gifts. Nobody's saying you have to do exactly the same thing. Nobody's saying you got to be a martyr and you got to go get 1,000 lashes because you blogged about agnosticism in Saudi Arabia. Nobody's asking you for that. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of, yeah, I stand for freedom of speech. Just a little bit of like, yeah, I think that the free market shouldn't have a whole bunch of guns pointed at it to make it fair because some people don't get the money they want. You don't get to rob a store because you didn't get paid enough and you don't get to point guns at big. Just a little bit. Nobody's saying that you gotta go and speak the truth to the medieval pope and get locked up like Galileo or get set on fire like about 8 billion scientists in the Middle Ages. No, nobody's saying you've got to do all that. Just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit will help a huge amount. But no, people don't want to do that. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. So everyone else has got to do all this fucking work to clear the land for these people. Guys go in and men and women go in and hack down these trees and brave these bears and clear the land for people. And they're like, oh, this is great. Look at all this clear land. I'm going to build a bouncy castle of fun. I'm going to, oh, look, a natural swimming pool. I'm going to swim. This is great. And then some of the men come back from clearing out the next section of land. Not women's rights, not slaves' rights. Now we're doing children's rights. They're coming out, coming back, sweat and bare. Claw marks on your chest in those really great Wolverine style, always in this attractive pectoral style, right? And sweaty and bug bitten and snake bitten to come back from clearing the next area for human beings to go and inhabit. And the frontiers men and women are out there clearing it out, making it clear, and come back and say, whoa, this place kind of run into seed a little here. Like, would you guys mind some weeding? You just do a little weeding. Nobody's saying you don't have to come out here where the bears are. You don't have to like bring down fucking mountain lions with your bare teeth. Like, we get it. That's not for you. Just maybe a little bit of weeding. Things are kind of going to seed around here. I'm glad it's great you got the bouncy castle. It's great you got the swimming pool. I'd like to swim too, but busy clearing the next section of human ethical landscape for you people to inhabit. Just do some fucking weeding. Would you mind? And people are all like, I don't know. Weeding, first of all, I just did my nails. And like weeding, I could totally, it hasn't happened yet. I can totally see getting like a split nail from the weeding. And the other thing too, like I did a little makeup and weeding, it's like hot out and I don't want to sweat because I get these like rivulets. They're totally uncomfortable. And what if it goes and bleeds down into my top? I mean, this is silk. You cannot get that out of silk. I don't want to get raccoon eyes, like I'm Annie Lennox singing Queen songs. I don't want to do that because it's weird and gross looking. So, If you could, like, after you clear the next 100 acres of, like, sequoias and poison ivy and snakes and stuff, like, if you could just come back and take care of those weeds, we'll be over here under these parasols. And listen, darling, if you don't mind, would you also be a deer? I'd also like a mint julep. So after you go take down the bears and rip up the next 100 acres of trees by the roots and make it habitable for people like us, if you could come back here, do a little weeding. Also, I think there might be something that's dead in the pool. I'm not touching that. My God, I don't have enough sanitizer in the world to clean that off my fingers. If you could clean out the pool, do some weeding, bring me a mint julep, okay? That would be special. Thanks, doll. Right? This is what people are like. Just do some fucking weeding. The majority of the work has been done. Just do some weeding. Just beat back some of the crazy, politically correct, idiot, nonsense jerkwads. Just keep them off. Keep the weeds off. Major work has been done. There's no aristocracy. There's no slavery. You know, women have been emancipated. The majority of the work has been done. You know, just push back at the annoying gnats of political correctness. You know, how about that? Push back on a government program or two. Sow a few seeds of doubt. Just some weeding. And they won't, because it's uncomfortable. You know what's uncomfortable is going off into the wilderness armed with only a toothpick and trying to take down the grizzly of the state. And when I say toothpick, I mean microphone. And this idea that, oh, you know, I don't want to talk about these things because it makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to. Like, I don't want to look into maybe why some police officer shot someone because, you know, I might get a counter narrative that makes me uncomfortable. I mean, I don't, like, it's like, no, just do, we're not asking you to sacrifice yourself. We're not asking you to make this your life's mission. We're just saying do some weeding while we're off clearing off the next section of land for human beings to expand into called child rights. You know, sexism, great. Racism, great. Understood, opposed. Childism, prejudice against children, seeing children as non-humans. We're working on that. But we can't work on everything. We can't go and clear the next 100 acres of the grizzlies and the bears and the cougars and the lions. And we can't do that and weed and pick the dead shit out of the swimming pool and bring you a goddamn mint julep. Can't do it all. So get off your fucking asses and go do some weeding while we clear off the next thing. People won't do it. It's uncomfortable. People might say bad things about me. We're a bunch of parasites. And I think the moral pioneers of humanity get a little fucking tired of carrying these parasites. Do some work. Help out the species. Pay a little forward. Contribute a little bit. Put down your nail files. Put down your Xbox controllers. Contribute something to the progress of the species. I get it. You're not a warrior. Great. That doesn't mean you have to be a fucking dish rag. Just a little bit. Couple of Facebook posts. You know, spread a little FDR. Spread a little whatever it is that gets people thinking. Spread the opposite of FDR. I don't care. Do something to help the species out a little bit. Don't just hang on the backs of everyone else's labor and say, well, I don't like to talk about these things. They're controversial. While enjoying the fact that you have some economic, social, and political liberties because other people were willing to talk about things that were uncomfortable and do a shitload of uncomfortable things to give you some freedom. And what do you do with that freedom? Do you at least thank the people? Do you support the people? Do you donate to the people doing that? Do you get behind them? Do you defend them? Do you advocate for them? No. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't want to do anything that's uncomfortable. Well, if everyone was like you, we'd still be in caves having bears sit and fart on our asses half the winter. So, if you want to help them out of being parasites so that they can contribute to human freedom rather than just consume human freedom, just eat it up. People didn't fucking die and get burned at the stake and get thrown in jail so that they could go bowling. The best among the species didn't work and sweat and sacrifice so that they could not have to grope too far to get their Wii controller when it falls under the couch. Human beings of unbelievable intelligence, commitment, virtue, and integrity did not sacrifice their lives so that everyone down the road could let tyranny creep back because they don't want to be uncomfortable. That is lazy, that is entitled, that is ungrateful, that is selfish, that is short-sighted. And that takes the greatest gifts of history and squanders them for the sake of, oh, well, I don't want people to frown at me. Well, the people who gave us these freedoms had to deal with a lot more than internet trolls and social frowns. And I don't know what has happened to the spine of the species. You know, the old saying that a civilization rises in hobnail boots and falls on silk slippers. But I'm telling you this, there are not enough strong, stern, and moral souls in the world currently to save humanity from the drift towards fascism that is occurring out of the inertia, laziness, selfishness, and desire for comfort alone that characterizes the vast majority of the species. Why do we have bullies in society? Why do we have people who scream sexism and racism? And why do we have bullies in our society? Why do we have the death of reason in our society? Why is it just a matter of screaming at people and hurling invective at people and lying about people and slandering people? Why is it that we have bullies in society? Because bullies are the demons created by the vacuum of courage, by the absence of courage. Nature abhors a vacuum, nature abhors cowardice. When a culture becomes cowardly, it summons the bullies. The bullies are here because we want them here, because we'd rather be bullied than stand up for ourselves. We'd rather be screamed at than speak words of reason in a calm and gentle voice or a loud voice. And so all of these people who are afraid of conflict and afraid of upsetting people and afraid of getting frowns and afraid of being disapproved of, well, the bullies smell that fear, and that is food for the bullies. That feeds and strengthens the bullies, and the bullies will grow, and the bullies will grow, and the bullies will grow, and the bullies will yell and scream and get more powerful until people get that it's easier and better to be uncomfortable now than it is to be enslaved later. Easier to go to the dentist now than have your teeth come out one by one, Angela's Ashes style, later on. It's easier to do some sit-ups now than get diabetes later. And it's easier to have courage and talk about things that are uncomfortable now than it is to be enslaved down the road. Because the bullies ain't going to stop. That's what they do. That's how they roll. That's how they roll like a snowball coming down the side of a snowy hill, getting bigger and bigger and starting with one flake and ending up something that can level a whole town. And so, yeah, David, you got some friends who find it uncomfortable to talk about important things. And what they are is parasites feeding off the remnants of freedom fought for by far better people. And I'm sorry if they're uncomfortable, but they sure as hell are enjoying the fruits of the significantly greater discomfort of those who fought for freedom in the past and those who are fighting for freedom now. They love all those freedoms, but they won't contribute one goddamn thing to them. In fact, they stand in the way of every conversation that might lay bare iniquity and immorality and clear any possible path to a freer future. They're in the way. And they're parasites. And we cannot let them stop us.
Wow. Great speech.
Make them uncomfortable. Or don't.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, again, nobody has to do a goddamn thing, but at least recognize the consequences of not doing anything. The consequences of avoiding deep issues is people say, the bullies are all they do is they sniff. They're like sharks with blood in the water. They sniff for that which you want to avoid. Oh, do you want to avoid something? Great. That's the button I can push to get you to do what I want. What are you afraid of? What do you most don't want to have happen in your life? Well, is it discomfort? Is it disapproval? Is it, oh, okay, great, fantastic. That's how I'm going to control you. You know, Andrew Breitbart used to say, you walk towards the fire. You don't walk away from the fire. It's coming either way. You walk towards it. If the whole world's going to burn, there's nowhere to run. You've got to walk towards the fire with your hose. And every time you run away, the bullies get stronger. Every time you avoid a topic, the bullies get stronger. Every time you back down, it's the old quote that Churchill had about appeasement. Appeasement is the hope that the crocodile is going to eat you last. The bullies, the power hungry, the monstrous within human society, they will not stop. They will never be full. They will never have enough power. They will never have enough control. They will never be satisfied. Ever, ever, ever. They can encase you in concrete and have it harden around your body. You'll still have too much motion for them because you might be able to breathe. And they will hate your last dying heartbeats as being outside of their control. The monsters, the sociopaths, the control freaks will never stop. They will never stop. Stalin did not wake up one morning and saying, well, I think I've had about enough. Let's liberalize these fuckers. Let's have a free market. Let's, you know, none of that shit happened. People were all excited when Khrushchev decided to speak the truth about Stalin. But all he was doing was burying the previous mafia boss and reducing allegiance to Stalin so that he could have more allegiance for himself. He still said to the West, I will bury you, and banging his shoe at the UN and doing all sorts of crazy shit. Brezhnev. Was he big on liberalization? No. Nothing happened until social collapse. They will not stop. This is what people don't understand. Or maybe they do deep down. It's really always hard to tell. They will not stop. And if they can get us to avoid speaking of essential, important philosophical issues, moral issues, issues of reality, issues of integrity, issues of courage, if they can get us to stop talking about these things with each other because there's disapproval in the air, we're doomed as a species. We might as well have them clap on the manacles now and hang us from the walls because we're done. We are fucking done. We are fucking done. If disapproval is enough, if social awkwardness is enough to have us shy away from essential topics that are the ultimate final defense against tyranny, we're done. We are completely done. The short couple of century experiment of Western freedoms, of a free market, of freedom of speech, a freedom of association. If we are now uncomfortable and won't do anything to defend that or talk about it or push back at the encroaching waves of tyrannical absolutism, we're done. That whole experiment is going to pass. It's done. And if there was an afterlife, all the people who literally, literally gave their lives for the cause of human liberty, people who fought with words, which is sometimes even harder than fighting with weapons, people who were ostracized, people who were slandered, people who were attacked, people who were lied about, people whose reputations were smashed, people who were harassed, people who were thrown in jail, people who were sent to war. All of those people have given us this unbelievable gift. And it's like a father dies handing a gold bar to his son, who then goes and loses it in a crap game. And the father says, after death, well, that was pretty fucking pointless, wasn't it? I gave my gold to an idiot. And the people who bought us these freedoms, I'm conscious of them. You know, one of the first videos ever made was Bohemian Rhapsody, and they've got every dial of special effects, they crank it up, and there's one where they mirror, right? The little, like when you stand in front of two opposing mirrors, it just flows away. And I see all these people behind me who suffered enormously. You know, my ancestor, William Molyneux, who was best friends with John Locke, the philosopher, They feared imprisonment. Speaking about mere economic liberties and political liberties too. They had to hide. They were terrorized, terrified. That's the suffering that has given us the freedoms that we have. And what do you think of this army of heroes that stands in the giant vestibule of a noble history behind us? What do you think when they look upon this landscape? They look upon this landscape of liberty that they fought and bled and died and killed and wrote and feared to give us. The gold that they bestowed upon us, that they suffered so much to bring to the surface and hand out to humanity. What do you think they think when they look upon the landscape of humanity at the moment and see what is happening to the freedoms, the escalating power and size of the state, the rise of the spectral army of bullies and slanderers that has arisen since the 1960s, who now dominate and terrorize the landscape? What do you think? What do they think of their suffering? Because they did not live to see the freedom that they wished to bestow upon others. And the freedom and the gifts with which they gave humanity have been so astoundingly prodigious. I mean, everything that we're talking about, everything that we live, everything that we breathe, this very technology that we use to communicate, comes out of the free market, comes out of the pushback against aristocratic ownership and state control, state power, central planning, mercantilism. All of it was pushed really hard back by historical heroes of great moral courage and import. And now, what have we done? What have we done with the gifts that they have given us? And those of us who see, and those of us who understand, and those of us who get it, are saying, we got this great gift from the past. We were lucky to get it, because 99.9% of humanity didn't get it in the past and doesn't even get it in the present. We got this unbelievably great gift, and all it needed was some weeding. It did not need to be fought all over again. It just needed some weeding. It just needed pushback against the Marxists and the socialists and the warmongers and the Democrats and the Republicans. It just needed pushback against the women who wed the state and divorced sanity. It just needed some pushback, and if it had happened early and if it had happened hard, it would never have flourished. We would not be living in this world where everyone is scurrying from all the bullies and the screamers and the slanderers and the liars. But now it's going to be much harder, and it's going to keep getting harder, and it's going to keep getting harder until we either win or we lose in an end times brinksmanship. Could have been solved early and relatively easily. Like, you know, when Hitler took Alsace-Lorraine, as Hitler himself said, one French army had come in, it would all have been over. No war, no 40 million dead. Done. No atom bombs. But they, ooh, I don't know, that makes me uncomfortable. So here you go. Here's Alsace-Lorraine. There's the Rhineland, there's Austria, there's Czechoslovakia, Poland, okay, that's too much. We can't do anything about it now, but here's war. And this idea that it's uncomfortable now, so we'll wait, I don't know, what is that? What is that? What is that all about? It's just hoping your mortal enemy has a heart attack? I mean, that's not going to work. It's discomfort now or disaster later. There are no other choices. There are no other choices. It's discomfort now or disaster later. And I was committed to this before I had a child. Now that I have a child, I have to think a lot further in the future, as well as being influenced by everything that came before, because I'm going to deliver as best as I can. I am going to fucking deliver a free world to my daughter. The fact that I also have to deliver it to the child of these parasites who choose stupid comfort over even mildly strenuous exercise of a tiny bit of moral courage, I am somewhat regretful that I have to deliver moral freedom as best I can and political and economic freedom to the children of the parasites as well as to my own child, but there's simply no way around it because numbers, because math. And I mean, if you look at Greece now, well, they could have solved the problems early. They could have solved the problems 20 years ago and have an economy stronger than Germany at the moment, but they didn't because it's uncomfortable, you see. It's a little uncomfortable for politicians to go in front of the people and say, "Hello, math! Calling the last remnants of sanity in the population. Do you remember the math you did? That's part of reality too. And you've been living beyond your means. You voted for all this free stuff. You surrendered your freedoms in return for bribes. The bribes have run out and your freedoms are gone. I hate to tell you this. It's your own fucking fault. It's your own fault. I mean, Greece of all places, reason, democracy, freedom, remember all that shit? You kind of left that in the rear view, didn't you? Just for a little bit. Because, boy, wasn't it great to see all the confetti on those games in Athens, the Olympics? That was cool. Didn't you feel proud? Well, now you got to pay for your pride, and it's not going to be cheap. Old people, welcome to the delicious land of cat food. That's what you pay because when you ask the government to treat you like a pet, you end up eating like a pet. I can't change that for you because it's not the fault of the young who didn't even have a vote when you put all these crazy programs into place. Not their fault. You got to pay. Sorry, you got to double up. You got to, there's no money left. They could have done this and it would have avoided all of this cat food scenario. It would have, you know, a little pain then would have meant a whole lot better life now. But no, you see, they didn't want to be uncomfortable. Any politician who might dare tell the parasitic, mindless, zombie-headed masses any kind of rational truth that 2 seconds thought would teach them without them even having to pull out a calculator or take off their fucking shoes to count their toes. Any politician who gives any kind of reality to the masses, they recoil. Oh my God, he told us a scrap of truth. Oh, hold me, I need a hug room with puppy bear videos and a beanbag. No, what did they do? They elected a socialist to deal with overspending. Oh my God. I have too much cocaine. Pablo Escobar will keep it for me. That's going to be great. God almighty. No, they just elected someone else who's going to lie to them and tell them, don't worry, we'll work out a deal. And now they have to go to the IMF and they say, oh, we can't possibly pay you the money that we owe you unless you lend us some some money. And people are saying this extend and pretend nonsense with a straight face because they didn't want to do anything that was uncomfortable. Nobody wanted to say to the old people, I'm sorry, you took out more than you paid in. And math. Remember how you told us when we were kids to do our math homework? It might have been helpful if you'd done a little bit yourself. Because you're taking out $4 in benefits for every dollar you pretend to pay in taxes. Where did you think that was going to end up? Because math. You don't get to fart on an abacus and turn it into infinity. Doesn't work. But no, nobody wanted to have those uncomfortable conversations. So now you got 26, 27% youth unemployment, 26, 27% unemployment as a whole, 50% youth unemployment. The old people are living on 600-700 euros a month and their kids are living with them because they can't get any jobs. 10% of the Greek economy is going to pensions. Greeks retire in their 50s because, you know, it's sunny. I mean, what's the point of working when it's nice out? Those Germans could work because it's snowy. And yeah, so you either learn from reason or you get reamed by consequences. There are no other choices. So make your friends uncomfortable if you want to pay it forward, if you want to do right by the world, and if you want to add your energies to the moral progress of mankind and avert the disaster. See, everybody kicks and screams at the ethicist, but boy, it's the ethicist who knows what happens if he doesn't make them uncomfortable. Right? I mean, I don't want to go to the gym. It's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's uncomfortable, and it's boring as hell. I did 40 minutes on a bike machine today. It's boring. It is, of course. But the consequence is what? Is what? Oh, look, I broke my leg climbing the stairs, right? I mean, that's no good. Osteoporosis. Yay, brittle bones, right? I'm an astronaut. So the ethicist knows the consequences of being, of surrendering to the discomfort of the moment, right? Yeah, it's uncomfortable if you're addicted to sugar and fat to not eat as much of it as you like, which is now why, for the first time in history, an American woman now weighs the same as an American man did in the 1960s, clocking in at 166 pounds. It's a future of catastrophic diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and a massive fat giant jugular vat sucking off the emotional financial resources of the young. I give you the American bloated female fish. Brr, can't fit through doors. Have to have double doors. We need bigger seats than airplanes. And oh my God, we can't get them into the elevators anymore. We have to change all those numbers too. Because it's uncomfortable. And so, yeah, of course you have to have Obamacare. And of course the public sector servants aren't going to give up their free health care. They've got an entire life of sitting with their giant asses on little motor scooters designed to, well, if I don't get my giant health care free, I'm doomed. Anyway, so A, you don't have to do anything, but if you don't, you just join a whole bunch of parasites who feed off and interfere with all of us who are trying to keep people safe from disaster. And B, if you do decide that you want to help people out, you're just going to have to grit your teeth and say, I'm sorry you're uncomfortable. It's for your own good.